The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by Amove.tv. Check out Amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit JossPlays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this. You beast, Deroxys. You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. This is The Angry Chicken, specifically episode 438. I don't know why I'm saying that. I never say the episode number. I'm Garrett Weinzerl here, as always, with Ridiculous Hat. And joining us again is Jocelyn Carney to tell us if we're all just on a mercenary's honeymoon or if it's actually good.
Yeah, y'all drank the Kool-Aid. I don't know what the hell happened while I was away, but yeah, you're just, what?
We played the video game, and then we had fun with the video game, and then we talked about it.
Weirdos.
Pretty much, right? Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down, yeah. Yeah, it's more or less, that's more or less how it went down. You know what else went down, like, since we last recorded?
What?
Can we get nostalgic about, and meta about this podcast for a second? Cool. I don't know if anyone listening is aware of this, but this past Friday was an important date in the Angry Chicken history because on October 15th, 2013, episode 1 of the Angry Chicken, Death by Sheep, was posted, which means it's been 8 years of the Angry Chicken.
That's a lot of them.
8 years. Yeah, it's a lot. It also means I'm like coming up on my 6th wedding anniversary because it's also in October. And I'm feeling really old. So if somebody could please do anything to make me feel young right now, I'd really appreciate it.
Anybody?
We were just talking about how you were excited to save money on your chicken Caesar salad. So I think that ship has sailed. I think we should just write that one off. Okay.
Yeah, cool. All right. And if you want to know that reference, tune in live to the pre-show on twitch.tv/amovetv. Dax in the chat room yelling Blink-182 is now classic music. You are not helping!
I know. Anytime I flip by like a classic rock station and they're playing something I listened to in high school, I'm just like, get the F out of here with that nonsense. It's not classic rock.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Are we a classic Hearthstone podcast? Is that the point? I've seen like mercenaries podcasts popping up, and I'm just like, oh my god, wait, are we old?
Oh yeah, we're the old vintage man in the corner now. Oh, vintage. I like that. Veteran. That's better. Vintage.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, you can't say classic because classic means like four different things in terms of Hearthstone, and we're not any of them. So like, there was too much confusion around the word classic that still persists now, and we don't want to really compare ourselves to the classic mode because that's not super high engagement.
Good God. Anyways, a happy anniversary, you two. And special shout out to you, Hat. I really like the show with you as a permanent fixture. I've been having a good time.
I've really liked the show the other 7 years, so like I guess we have the whole thing covered because I was a fan. You know, it's like the Hair Club for Men. I'm not only a host, I'm also a fan. So, you know, thanks for the great content over the bunch of years, and thanks for letting me do some of it.
A long-time listener, first-time perma-host?
Yeah. That is true. I don't know how you'd be a multiple-time perma-host. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
You leave and come back.
Well, but I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I like it here.
And we don't want you to leave either.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's been an incredible 7 years from a fan perspective. You know, I mean, the show has gone through so many evolutions and changes, and even the bumpers, you got Brode to come back after he left Hearthstone to make you a new bumper. Like, I don't know how you do that, but you did that.
So he's a long-time Hearthstone personality and second-time TAC podcast appearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he left and came back.
He did.
To the show, not to Hearthstone.
No.
Yeah, don't get people's hopes up there.
He's well, it's confusing when so many Bens have been like the figurehead of Hearthstone, you know. Soon, that's where Hat will leave. Hat will leave, become the head of Hearthstone to be the fourth Ben to run shit over there and continue confusing everyone. Yeah.
Hey, person with no game design experience, do you want to be the head designer in this game? Sure.
It's fine. So anyways, Joss, you weren't able to join us last week. We figured we would take the top of the show to talk about our first week with Mercenaries and figure out, are we still in the honeymoon period? Is it even a honeymoon period? And also, just how are you liking it? Period. Straight up. Like, how's your time with post-launch Mercenaries?
I feel like I'm just going to be such a dissenting opinion on this episode, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
We were accused of being paid by Blizzard after last week's episode. And I think that happens to Hat pretty often because he just kind of loves everything about this game. It hasn't happened to me in literally years. Like, literally years, I haven't been accused of being paid by Blizzard. And after last week's episode, since I was like, yeah, I played it and it's fun, suddenly I'm being paid by Blizzard, which I really, really wish I was, because that'd be great.
We're not above it. Okay. I don't want to give that idea.
Listen, Blizz, if you want to pay me, I will cash that check right now. What do you want me to say? I'll say.
No, I didn't say I would change what I said. I just said I would take their money.
Yeah, I'll take the money, but still give them the opinion.
Oh, no, I'll sell out today. Yeah, you want to pay me to have a specific opinion?
I'm going to ask them next week to have you be a duels and arena main and see how long that lasts.
Listen, there. I have a rate card, and that's definitely at the top of it. It's at the upper echelon.
So anyways, Jocelyn, what did you think of Mercenaries while we digress over the top of you being asked your opinion?
I think I come down on the same side as where I was kind of going into the Mercenaries launch. I have like less than zero interest in PvP. Like, that is never going to be a thing that I do. Like, I enjoy Battlegrounds and Standard for my PvP fixes. I have no interest in Merc's PvP at all. I feel like just the system of the three different types and the double damage and stuff just like isn't interesting to me. I should say that, like, because I have no interest, it's not a part of the mode that I've spent any time in, so maybe I'm completely off base, but it just gives me vibes of, like, even more so than any other mode that I play. Like, if I get a bad hero in Battlegrounds, or if I queue into like a polarized matchup in Standard or something, I still feel like maybe there's a way for me to win, but because there's so few random elements in Mercenaries, I feel like if I queue in with a team and I just happen to queue into my counter, like, there's legit nothing I can do. And I don't like that feeling. So I just, PvP is not, I have zero interest in Merc PvP. So all of my Mercs, like, I guess opinions are more so on the PvE side of things. So in terms of the PvE side of things, I had a really good time in my first like 5 hours or so. It felt really rewarding. It was like giving me packs and stuff, and I was leveling my characters up really quickly, and you level like your character abilities, you level your characters. There's all these things that are like binging and going like, hey, you unlocked a thing. Yeah, you did the stuff. Yeah. Fireworks and level up things. And, you know, like everything's just in my face telling me how great I am. And that falls off really quickly. And yeah, I can go and level up other characters in my collection, but if I've got characters I really enjoy playing with, then the grind kind of hit me pretty quickly. And then I wasn't getting those like those dopamine hits, I guess, you know, like, and so I kind of, I fell off of it actually pretty quickly. And there are parts of it that I enjoy, but it doesn't fit into, like, if I ever have access to any other game or any other game mode, I will not play Mercs. So, like, this fits into that same realm for me as single player Hearthstone content, where I am traveling somewhere where I'm not driving, I'm passengering or planing or something, where my internet connection isn't necessarily great and I just need something to do to pass the time, then I'll play single player Hearthstone content, which for me includes mercenaries. So that's kind of where I thought it would fit in my gaming experience. And after playing it, that's definitely what it is. I find some of the crafting stuff isn't as straightforward, I guess. Like, the rarities in the crafting isn't as straightforward to me as standard Hearthstone. Like, I was flipping through the collection and I was like, oh, cool, Rexxar. Yeah, like, I totally want him. I, you know, Hunter main, like, gotta get Rexxar. And it's like, that'll be 500 Rexxar coins. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, what about the pre-order stuff? Like, what about Lich King? I like Arthas too. Let's go. I'll go be Lich King. And they're like, he's also legendary, but 300 coins. And I'm like, wait, what? So I don't know. I'm just like, there's this mode just has so many things that make it difficult for me personally, without going and doing a whole bunch of Googling and research and stuff, to figure out what the actual value of my gold is going to get me, because I will not spend money on this mode. That's another thing. I will not spend real money on this mode. So if I'm looking at spending my gold in other modes in Hearthstone, mostly, you know, packs and standard, like, I have a pretty good idea of the value I'm going to get there. But then I go over to mercenaries and I'm like, I really don't know if I'm getting good value for my quote unquote money. And it gives me even more of those icky feelings, because then I'm like, are you purposely obscuring your economy? That makes me feel like you're trying to steal from me, and I don't like that. Like, whether it's true or not, that's just the gut reaction I get to this stuff. So
that is the reaction I have always had to anything where, like, what does Scott Johnson call them, space points? Like, anything. When heroes swapped over to, like, Gemblies from, you give us, yes, $5, we give you a hero. Like, I immediately stopped spending money in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, yeah. I have now, the same anytime there's, like, multiple steps between my real money and what it is in the game, always makes me feel weird. And Heroes is a great example of that. But yeah, I don't know. It just, like, for me, like, the gold and dust system in standard Hearthstone seems pretty straightforward. Like, I know exactly what a common and a rare and an epic and a legendary cost. And then I go over into Mercs and I'm just like, but why?
Yeah, the fact that a legendary can cost more or less than another legendary infuriates me on a deep and personal level.
I think they're all 500.
They're not. They're not.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
Can I load up the game?
At least day one in the collection for me, they were not. So I don't know if that's changed. Yeah, but
could have been a bug, but they should all be 500. Those should be a fixed value.
But they should be. I agree. But I can tell you, Rexxar was 500 and Lich King was 300, and they both had orange gems, and I was like, WTF.
So I'm firing up Hearthstone. I don't think game noise should come across, but if it does, dear listeners at home, that's why. Yeah. I don't know. My recording settings all kind of got borked over the weekend. So we might experience some unexpected turbulence.
It's okay. But yeah, and so that kind of, like, also leads me, and this might be something that's changed and or working as intended, with the intention of mercenaries eventually having either more equipment or more abilities or whatever. But I've also seen people talking about how you continue to get coins for characters you have maxed. And that also makes me feel kind of yucky, because I'm just like, now you're taking up a slot in whatever my rewards are with stuff that I can't use when I probably have other characters that I haven't maxed out. So, and again, this might just be, like, leaving room for growth in the future. But yeah, for right now, it feels kind of icky.
There was a commander, or a, his name is CM Deluxe, but I always think of it as Commandy Lux because my brain, I don't know why, it's CMDY.
CMD is command, yeah, fair. Yeah.
But it's Deluxe, and he said that there is a plan for excess coins in the future, but not right now, but they will have a use of some sort. We don't know what that will be, but it's coming. But also, I understand, hey, don't worry, the check is in the mail, is not necessarily the most comforting thing.
Yeah.
All legendaries are 500.
So. Okay, well then it must have just been some sort of weird bug on the first couple days then. But
I legitimately would not know because I have not gotten enough coins to craft anything.
Yeah.
Oh no, neither did I. I was just literally like scrolling through after I finished the kind of bulk of the tutorial stuff because then I was like, hey, you know, like I've opened a couple of packs. I've noticed I've opened a lot of currencies and stuff. I just want to like see what I can buy with my dollars, air quotes. And it was like, wait, what? So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, it is manually difficult to figure out if they're actually legendary outside of the crafting costs because they're grayscale. You can't see the color of the
Yes, families. They are grayscale.
I mean, I guess sepia scale is how I might technically describe it.
Color filtered, like, I don't know, monochrome.
There you go.
Which maybe that was the I don't know. Oh no, wait, no. Lich King is a legendary. Okay,
Lich King is a legendary. Yeah. But like, I went to Varian, and I'm like, Varian's got to be legendary, right? He's only 300. No, wait, no, he's epic. Okay.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, but has nothing to do with anything.
I believe the legendary rarity is mostly just like they really, not everything can be legendary, but they clearly started with a WoW basis. They very clearly started the first 51 mercs. You've got the Hearthstone mercenaries themselves, because you kind of need to do that if you make a mode and you around these characters. But also a lot of the big characters in the mode are like our classic classic WoW characters. And there's a lot of WoW basis. We've talked about this in offline. There are treasures in the PvE that rely on you knowing who's Horde and Alliance. And there is a bit about the final story task where the opponent is listed as Major Domo. And the final story task says, kill Ragnaros. And you have to make a connection there that I think if you hadn't played WoW, you might not know. It's also kind of a fun fight because you queue into Geddon, Gar, and Major Domo. And if you kill Major Domo too soon, then you will lose the fight, which I think is kind of funny. But also, I can't imagine players that play Hearthstone as their primary game that don't have the WoW background knowing this kind of assumed knowledge. So you can tell it's kind of a labor of love, but that people were really, really close to the project when they were making it. And the zoom out over the past week has hopefully been helpful to them.
Yeah, I see it as a strong critique, but also my brain just finds it wildly fascinating because it's so cool to see people running into hiccups because they don't have a deeply personal encyclopedic knowledge of Warcraft characters. So it's like, I don't mean to find something so fascinating that so many people are finding so frustrating, but I do find it fascinating. Because I'm like, I know all the Horde. Although, I don't have the Lich King, haven't cracked him, and I think I have like a third the amount of coins to make him. That I guess he's listed as Horde, if I had the Lich King, then it would have finally struck me where I'm like, wait, Lich King, Horde, or Alliance? I mean, technically he's neither.
Way more Alliance ties than Horde ties.
Yeah, and there's also like demons, like Rathorian.
It's the Lich King thing is a bug. Like that's been a confirmed bug. But yes, it's there's definitely a level of assumed knowledge there that I think they said they're gonna work on some kind of indicator there. They know it's a pain point, but yeah.
If only we had two icons that were very recognizable that delineated Horde from Alliance.
I guess that would work.
Okay, so Celestial in the chat room, I was going to type this out, but I'm going to just say it. Celestial in the chat room saying there's a misconception that you need to know which characters are Horde and which are Alliance, but you don't. It's purely based on race. Alliance races are Alliance and Horde races are Horde. That's all you need to know. But Alliance and Horde come from Warcraft. So if you don't know what races are Alliance and what races are Horde because you've never played Warcraft, it's still a problem. Like, yeah, you can also assume, like,
who the shit all is humans Baron are Geddon? Alliance. Like, is it neither? Is Baron Geddon neither? Okay, Geddon,
yeah, some
neither.
Some
okay.
of them are neither. Yeah, some yep. of them are neither. But, like, if you don't yeah. have that background lore knowledge, if you've never created a character in Warcraft and you've never seen those two divides, then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, what I'm learning is it is not helpful either way. If you have a knowledge of Warcraft, you'll be confused. And if you don't have a knowledge of Warcraft, you'll be more confused. Is kind of like where I'm coming down, because like I get that Lich King is technically undead, but at no point in my raging Arthas fanboy brain would I ever go, yeah, Horde, of course.
Yeah, no, because the Forsaken are like totally anti Lich King, you know, like they're as far removed from Lich King as they can get while still being undead. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also worth noting that this only comes up in PvE when you're taking the specific treasures that come up. It doesn't come in PvP. So I have an advanced technique. If the numbers are big enough on it, I don't bother looking at the characters. I just pick it. And if their numbers are small, then I pick something else. That has been my technique so far.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah. No, it's just that that was probably the most common concern I saw, like, over the weekend and over just the whole week with mercenaries were over and over again, people going, I actually don't, I'm not too sure about the Alliance and Horde thing because I don't have a knowledge of this stuff. I was just like, huh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
This was the most common concern you heard? Because the most common concern I heard was the economy stuff, like, and especially the packs, kind of like what Joss talked about.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a mess. Like, straight up. Like, I think the economy is a total mess.
It is. We have this listed later in the show. You want to do it now, or are we doing it later?
Let's just do it now. Let's just have the conversation now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the packs.
Mercs. It's Mercs time, yo.
Yes.
Yeah.
The packs are bad. They're not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I almost bought some, and then like I saw your tweet, and I was like, never mind.
Which one? I had a 4-tweet thread and then a flowchart.
So sorry.
I saw the flowchart, which was so good.
The tweet thread. I was like, oh, Hat figured it out. Ooh, I don't like this.
It is extremely complicated, and I wanted a way to explain to people how did I get a portrait before I finished all of my legendaries or epics or whatever. There's a lot going on here. We actually asked Nathan Lyon Smith during the interview last week. The packs seem kind of complicated. What's going on there? I bought packs. I bought a good number of packs because I like playing mercenaries and you know, not here to attack or defend any particular part of the mode, but I will say the packs are just, they're underwhelming. Joss, you said you didn't know the value of the packs, you didn't buy any. I have opened a large number of packs in the triple digits. I don't know the value of packs either. So it's because you end up getting a lot of merc bucks, and it can be relevant, but you don't know which ones you're getting. You get a lot of portraits, which you can't craft, you can't dust, and you can't choose if you're opening or not. And, like, they can be nice, and some of them are excellent, like the Blinky Boy portrait where he's all, like, where he looks like a little puppy, or Baby Crush, or Baby Mukla. Like, there are plenty of great portraits that I'm happy to have, but I don't get to choose when I have them, how to make them, can't make them, can't craft them at all, can't dust them at all. It's just a thing that kind of happens. So it's, and there's no hard 40 pity timer. There isn't one. Now, I looked because I said, okay, well, this would be listed in the pack disclosure, right? Well, it isn't there. But then I looked at constructed packs. There's no hard 40 pity timer listed there either. And then I looked for official dev confirmation of the hard 40 pity timer in constructed packs, and there is none. So Mercs packs are so sketchy that they make me doubt constructed packs. They make me wonder.
Like 99.9% sure it was set at a BlizzCon or something that pity timer is what it is.
Yeah, there's no confirmation I can find anywhere of the 40 thing. The first 10 thing is listed, but the 40 thing is nowhere for any Blizzard Hearthstone packs, period, in any mode. So don't buy Mercs packs expecting to hit hard 40 and that's your legendary. And don't I don't know if that's true in Constructed either. Like, I have no idea. But I remember it being, like, I remember tracking it in Constructed and never going over 40 myself. That's just not enough data to say anything. But I don't know. I bought a bunch of packs. I have a bunch of them. I think I'm only missing one. I crafted a few of the legendaries. And before I played for a full week, I said never craft. Now I think actually you should craft epics and legendary mercs if you can. Because if you don't craft it, you might open it. And if you do craft, you get to open something else. And if you aren't going to get more packs, what is the runway to getting more legendaries? There isn't one. You have to make it. So I've enjoyed a lot of things about the mode, but the economy is definitely like, there's not enough player agency, and the packs are pretty sketchy and hard to understand. Really, really, really hard to understand. So I think that there's opportunity there for them to work on it, and I hope that
nudge it. Yeah, there's multiple times we've heard comments out of the development team in response to concerns about like the cost of mercenaries, saying that, well, if you compare us to other similar games, you'll notice that we're a lot more affordable. And I don't know whether that's true or not, because I don't play any other game like this. And I'm surprised I haven't. If there has been a post, someone please inform me and send me a link right away. But I'm surprised that I haven't seen a post so far where someone has extraneously done the math and compared this to something like Raid Shadow Legends or the like, and broken down, you know, whether that's a true statement or not, whether it is actually more affordable than some of the other major games of this style.
My co-host Boticus on Coin Concede is his feedback on the packs is fascinating to me, because he is a gacha gamer. He played a lot of Summoner's War and a lot of these other gacha games, and he said this is actually worse than a gacha game in a way that you aren't expecting. The payoff for hitting the legendary isn't enough dopamine. It isn't enough, like, because in when you're playing Genshin or Summoners War or whatever, you open the 5-star item, you immediately start winning more right away because you have it. It's a huge payoff, and you want to keep buying more. The feeling of getting the legendary in mercs is you relief that you don't have to open more packs, but then it starts at level 1. Your comp does not immediately get better. There's no instant payoff for the thing that I just went out of my way to get now makes me win more right away. So the packs are not really satisfying enough.
Because I've been, there's two thoughts here. Remind me to come back around on how I'll just say this right now before I move on to the point I was about to make, which is I don't really care if it's more affordable than the other game modes or not, because I don't play like the competitors. Like, this is my only experience, and to me, it's kind of rough from an economic standpoint. So back to my point that I was about to make that plays off of what you just said, which is I've been comparing this a lot to Pokemon. Even to the fact where I think I mentioned on the instance last week, because I was at, we were Joss, you and I were both asked on the instance what we thought of mercenaries, that it kind of blew my mind once I realized that I didn't need to try and memorize the triad of damage anymore when I realized they were color coded exactly the same way as Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I just 100%. Think of it as grass, fire, water, and I'm off to the races. The other thing that surprisingly reminds me of Pokemon is when I get a new merc, it kind of sucks. It's not an immediate power spike like you mentioned, Hat. Like, there's a few exceptions in Pokemon, but like in I'm talking like OG Red and Blue states here. Not talking Green. I'm not talking Japanese or the Advance re-release. Like you'd catch a new Pokemon and like it'd be. Although you know what. Never mind. I'm figuring this out as I talk right now. If you caught it in a higher level area, it would be higher level. So It still would typically be lower level than like your most grinded Pokemon on your team. But it wouldn't be starting at 1. So never mind. Pokemon is actually better about this. But there's still a grindiness like when you catch a new Pokemon. It's like, all right, let's go back.
When you're looking at mercenaries, the grind is the game. If you don't like the gameplay loop and you don't like the grind, this ain't going to be it. There's no real way around that. If you like the grind, if you like eventually the numbers going up a little bit more and the power spikes get smaller or get more spread out, but when you hit level 30 and then get an equipment, then you change the equipment and you realize, hey, this is a lot better. When you hit that level 15 ability and then...
Equipment is level 30?
There's a task 2 equipment, yes. A task 7, and a level 30. I mean, it's... So I've played a lot this week. I don't think level 30 is that crazy, but I have 13 level 30s so far. Which is like,
oh my god,
it's a decent.
Listen, oh, okay. What is not playing a lot for you?
I did also work almost every day since it came out, and it's been a demanding weekend. But also, I don't know. I like the mode. I play it when people,
which
say
is
that
good, I'm glad that people like you exist, Hat. I'm glad that you're on this show. I'm very, very, very glad, because Oh man, I think my whole, like, I play with the same six guys the whole time, and they're at like, I think I'm at like 17, and I was like, well, maybe I'll get something cool when I hit 20. But then also 16 to 17 took me so long that I was like, oh man, 20 is probably really far away. And then I just kind of went, I'm just going to go play standard.
Yeah, it's, so just to be clear also, For listeners out there, I don't usually like to give YouTube comments attention here, but if I didn't like the mode, I just wouldn't play it. Because I'm, Regis Kilbin said this quote a long time ago, and I still think about it like every day. I'm not a victim of games I choose to play. And so if I didn't like Mercs, I just would choose to not play it, and I would sound like Jocelyn, who said I played it and then I stopped, and that's how that goes. And I don't play a lot of Arena, for example. But Mercs, I went in pretty deep and I enjoyed it, but there are definitely some elements to change. And yet, at the same time, I'd like to be playing it right now. I'm not, out of respect for the show. But if,
why? Thank you.
But if there was no Angry Chicken, then I would be playing Mercenaries right this very moment. Because the grind is the game, and I like leveling, and I like making numbers go up. And I maxed out two parties, and then I'm going for more. And I didn't envision myself being a PvPer, but it is the next thing to do, and I want to play more with these mercs, so I'm probably going to do it. I don't know.
Okay, so you haven't dove into PvP yet. Because you can PvP with, like, a level one team, right?
Yes. Nothing stopping you, from what I understand, as long as you have built the arena.
Right.
Or whatever the hell it's called.
The matchmaking is really, really complex and really goes out of its way to match you against close matches, which means most of the time, especially when you're queuing early, then under like 3K MMR, it was more early on, but now it's under 3K MMR, you're almost certainly going to get an AI. Like, you're probably going to get a bot, and it will be matched pretty close to your team. And it doesn't, those aren't like super difficult matches, as long as you play your mercs in a reasonable order. It doesn't really feel like there are too many hard counter comps to most like competitively relevant stuff. And one of the best things to do overall right now in PvE and PvP is a comp with two free mercs, Zyrella Samuro. You're going to see that in a lot of compositions.
I've seen a lot of people complaining about that.
Well, like, it's a free thing, and I don't mind there being some power in the free mercs, and also it is totally counterable the same. Like, it's not competitively overbearing, but if you want to do something powerful with free mercenaries, then Zyrella Samura is probably in your lineup, and then it's good for nuking casters, which is important, because otherwise caster will tear you up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of, I'll quickly kind of say where I'm at, but I'm kind of in between both of you. I'm starting to wane on it. I'm getting kind of bored. I didn't play much over the weekend. I beat the Barons. I got my main team up to like 21. I think they're all 21, if not close. And then like I looked at my tasks and I'm like, none of these are mercs I care about. And I just didn't want to go do the task grind. And there's no way to reroll a task that I'm aware of.
No, I did that. And yeah, I did that because I thought it was going to work like rerolling quests. And then I hit the button to get rid of it and nothing else popped up. And I was like, oh, that sucks. It's kind of counterintuitive from the way all other quests in this game work.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I didn't really check my time, but I feel like I did about like 10 or 12 hours in Mercenaries. And at the moment, I don't feel a big draw to go back, because of kind of, I don't mind the grind, but I think the grind could be more fun because there's ways to make it much more efficient, and it's pretty boring to do it the quote unquote right way if you're just trying to go for grinding as much XP and you're finding the, you know, correct map to just grind on and get nodes so that you can keep getting more tasks and hopefully find tasks for the mercs you actually want coins for.
the most efficient way to farm tasks is also the most soul-deadening thing that you can do in Hearthstone. I've elected to not do it, but there are a lot of people that will. It is Baron's Two Heroic, the air elemental map. You just keep farming the swirly node to go for strangers as often as possible with a party of three. Then you get up to task seven or more for whatever merc you're targeting. And then you keep doing that until you have all the stuff. And it is technically the most efficient thing to do. And content creators are definitely feeling the burnout a little bit because you, as a content creator, you feel compelled to just make a bunch of competitive high-level comps. And it's so, so time-intensive because it very clearly was not designed to, well, first, be speedrun to the end game like this. Because I don't think that they anticipated how much people would binge mercs. Like, Soddle tweeted, he's got 11 mercs at max. Not level 30, not task 7. Maxed out, nothing more to spend the coins on. They get the bonus plus 1, plus 5. 11 of those. Game's been out since Tuesday. I don't think they anticipated that level of engagement. I do not think that they anticipated that.
Which always, when devs say this, it always drives me absolutely crazy because they did the exact same thing when they launched Sea of Thieves. Is they were, you know, saying, oh, and if you get everything to 50, then you can be a pirate legend. And somebody did it in like a week and a half. And they were like, we haven't actually made any content for Pirate Legend. We didn't think you guys would get here for like 6 months.
Someone will always, like, always find a way.
Someone will always, exactly. Someone will always find the most efficient path, grind the crap out of it, and finish your content in days, maybe weeks. Maybe weeks.
Here we are. And they didn't officially say that. That's not like a dev has come out and said officially, we didn't expect this to happen. This is 1.0 of a video game in a client that has 7 years of base knowledge. They've spent 7 years iterating constructed Hearthstone. And also, instead of it being its own client where people interact with it as a new game, they interact with it as a mode in Hearthstone because it is. So it's all these Hearthstone players are acting like Hearthstone players. And I mean, I remember when the Lich King solo content came out, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and you had to do one challenge per hero, and they're like, there's a really cool Arthas hero portrait. I'm sure some people get it in a few weeks. And like Dog streamed it in 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever. And just like, this is just kind of how Hearthstone players are. And I'm not surprised at all that people want to play and see a grind and want to conquer the grind and get there. And
yeah, this is how gamers are. It's not Hearthstone specific.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not gamers. No, not at and all. All of this.
Yeah, this is just going to happen. Yeah. For me, it's, I understand the reality of it. The reality of the situation is at odds with my desire. My desire would be that it's just more efficient to continue pushing harder content through the PvE system because that would be more varied. But it isn't. And so there's just in the back of my head, even though I too, like you, Hat, refuse to go drain my soul doing the efficient thing, there's still the thing in the back of my head going, I could just be leveling my dudes quicker if I were cashing in joy.
Yeah. Well, you don't even level quicker.
I would like to pay for your game in joy, please.
Yeah. And it's not even leveling. It's the task grind gets you the task 7 equipment, gets you more coins, but it's low level. So
yeah,
you don't
sorry,
level
leveling
either, right?
Level
well,
was
but
a
so
bad.
It's Im- but it's important to show just like how many different avenues of grinding there are. At a certain point, the grind is the game. I have elected to instead push sequentially through the story content on normal, beat it all, and now I'm working through on heroic, and I have a strong front three and a low-level back three, and, you know, power leveling, just like in Warcraft. You bring the high-level characters and the low-level characters, and the high-level characters do the work, and the low-level get the XP. And, you know, I'm having fun with the PvE content. The heroic gets really difficult, and the maps are more varied. It's still the same gameplay loop, but also there's absolutely a point where just like you decide how do I come up for air, do I go back down, and how much of my Hearthstone life is going to be defined by this game. Is it a 1 week thing, or is it something that I add into my daily repertoire? And I think a lot of people they expected this to be not a thing, then for a week it was really a thing, and now it might be back to either not a thing or less of a thing. It's been so hard to tell because early sentiment was all over the place, and we went from initial reveal, this is crap, and two of the hosts on this show said, I will never play this mode, to the day before the mode comes out, Garrett and I record an episode, and also a ton of people tweeted about the pre-orders that they bought in the last possible day, And I was like, didn't you not want to give the money for this, like you said? And then a bunch of people playing all week and then saying, I'm getting kind of burnt out on it, and then tweeting about it at 1 a.m. the same day, like, oh, I just leveled this cool thing. It's people's engagement with the mode has been all over the place.
Well, and there's, you know, two very different ways to be engaged with the mode, too. You can kind of be like a hardcore PvE-er or also be into PvP. And so, like, for me, all the folks that are like, rah, rah, PvP, I'm like, that's nice. I'm glad you're stoked. And that's as far as my interaction goes with it. Because I'm like you, Joss, I really don't care about PvP. It is not for me at the end of the day.
I feel like I've maybe wavered the least.
Oh, no, you were the most
consistent.
You've
been very consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, you were grumpy and you're still grumpy.
Well, grumpy. Yeah. Come on. You said it's a phone game and then you said I'll play it on my phone. Like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. It's the most different.
The phone client is hot garbage, by the way. Bless all you mobile players. I do not know how you do it.
It's the development hell around. So, like, the 1.0 thing is even more pronounced.
We're 40 minutes in and we have other things to talk about.
That is very true.
Okay, we should go. Let's go. Wait, oh, one note. Yeah. I have to say this one purple note. I wrote it down because I was going to forget about it and we almost forgot about it.
Oh, so, attack queuing. Please, for the love of God. Okay. Yes, yeah. I needed attack this.
This last thing is important. I'll shut up about mercenaries now for now until after the break. So if you have speed ties on your side only, if you have two units and they both have a 4, the one you pick first will always go first. If it's with your opponent, it's random. But if you have two speed ties on your turn, the one you pick first goes first, the one you pick second goes second, the one you pick third goes third if there's a third. Queue ordering breaks ties with your units only. With your opponent, it's random, but with yours, if you have a combo, do the other attack first, and it'll always work in the order you want.
Did not know that. Seems important. As do other things.
Very important.
It's a loading screen tip, but I learned about it from the true loading screen tip, a Celestalon tweet. That's where I learned about it.
You should rename his account to Hearthstone Loading Screen Tips. Yeah. That'd be great. I've also linked Hat's flowchart in the show notes, so if you haven't seen it and are having trouble finding it because Hat tweets more than I do, you can find them in the TAC 438 show notes linked at the bottom of the 438 post, which, if you've never looked up our blog posts, they can be found at theangrychicken.com. All right. Well, before we move on, we've got some housekeeping. We want to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/TAC for supporting this here podcast. So if you like what we're doing and are aware of the fact that we actually do not get paid by Blizzard, we only get paid by people who go to patreon.com/TAC and decide to give us $1 or more. It's completely up to you. Imagine if you decided how much you could pay for Netflix, but Netflix was only about Hearthstone and the production value was a lot lower. Yeah. That's what Patreon's like. So go check it out. You get access to our Discord. You'll get an ad-free version of the show. And to our most recent patron, Vic B, we just want to say thanks. Thanks for signing up. Appreciate it. Our streak continues. I think we're like 5 or 6 weeks in a row now with at least one new patron every week. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. Other than that, we have Mercenaries pre-purchase bundles to give away. These were sent to us by the Hearthstone team. And so if you are following the TAC podcast Twitter account, you may have noticed that we just tweeted out that we're giving away 5 Diablo Mercenaries pre-purchase bundle codes. You can go right now over to TAC podcast, follow the account, retweet that tweet. You'll be entered to win one of those 5 codes. However, I'm going to be a devious bastard and make you listen to the podcast as well. There's another 5 codes up for grabs, and I'm going to tell you right now here in the podcast how to get it. And if y'all are very good and don't tell other people online how to do this, y'all have a better chance to win. So for those listening, you have an extra chance to win another 5 that we're giving away. Tweet at us at TAC Podcast using the hashtag Dibbles, which is DIBBLES. And you'll be entered for a chance to win the other 5 that we're giving away. And we'll do a big fat drawing next week before the show. Or like I did last time, I'll forget and do it the morning after. but nonetheless, we will draw winners next week before the podcast. So good luck, everybody. Go enter. And now let's take a quick break before we get into this week's Hearthstone news and thank today's sponsor, Honey, that's right. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. They are back. You should go get Honey for free right now over at joinhoney.com/TAC. You might be thinking to yourself, what's Honey? Well, it helps you shop online. I know you've been there shopping online, watching that promo code field taunt you at checkout. But thanks to Honey, you don't need to go manually searching for coupon codes. It's a free browser extension. Again, Honey. joinhoney.com/TAC, that it just scours the internet for you. It finds promo codes. It applies the best one it finds to your cart, and you just save money. It's lovely. It works with a ton of sites, over 30,000 stores online to be extremely specific. So yeah, Joss, you were really excited before the show, yelling about money you saved with Honey. What'd you save on?
I was really excited because their browser extension is so inconspicuous. I totally forgot it was there. And then I decided to, so you guys, you have to keep this a secret, okay? Because it's Christmas almost. So I decided that I'm going to take my new pandemic skill, which is knitting, and make Christmas presents, which means I needed yarn. And so I'm just sitting there on this random yarn website and it just pops up and it's like, hey, do you want to save money on your order? And I'm like, wait, what? Honey! Yes, I do. Thank you. So I ended up saving $5 on my $30 order, and it was great. Total surprise savings.
This happens to me so often when I go like a long stint without shopping online, and I'm like, oh, right, Honey. Yeah, duh, you're right there. Yeah, it's great. It really is. It's not obtrusive at all. It only pops up
and you just push the button
to try.
Yeah, you just push the button and it just tries everything. So I don't even have to sit there like copy pasting codes or typing stuff in or anything. It's just like, hey, we found some stuff. Do you want to try them? Yes, please. And then it's like, hey, you saved insert dollars here. So yeah, I got $5 off my yarn, which is awesome.
It's great stuff. We thank them for the support. So go check them out. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It is literally free. And installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting us here at the Angry Chicken. So go get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That's joinhoney.com/TAC. We thank them for their support. And we thank you for supporting the brands that support us here at the Angry Chicken. And now let's talk about this week's Hearthstone news.
Good news, everyone.
Ixar's AMA. They you know them, you love them, they keep happening. I mean, maybe loving might be, mileage might vary. Maybe Ixar says something that you don't like, but I love that he does them regardless of the content. No one backing me up there. Cool. Let's get into what Ixar had to say.
I'm busy looking at our Twitter. Do you know how many dibbleses are on our Twitter mentions already?
Wait, double really
digit
already?
Dibbles. Double digit dibbles.
What about double digit dibbles?
Double digit dibbles.
Which is also the name of the double show. Dibbles. Double dibbles is now the name of the show.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, let's give a shout out to hey, Scott Vischer. You didn't use a hashtag, which means if I run a poll using hashtag, you will be omitted. Make sure you include the hashtag before dibbles.
There are quite a few people.
Although, if you just want to send me tweets about Dibbles that have nothing to do with the giveaway, he is my favorite hero in Heroes of the Storm. I'll take Dibbles tweets all day.
Okay. So I found this out today. This is a HOTS thing. Because I had spoken to a HOTS player yesterday that's like talking about their Karen Dibbles comp. I'm like, what's a Dibbles? And then you two both said Dibbles. And I'm like,
what's Dibbles? You call him Dibbles. Diablo is Dibbles.
Where did the, how, why, when, what?
Literally years, because Diablo has been in the game since the tech alpha, which started in 2014.
Was he misnamed back then and it stuck?
No.
No.
It's just how it is.
What everyone calls him. Yeah, it's just how it is, Hat. Don't question the Dibbles.
Listen, if you are making a call to kill the Diablo, it is really hard to say Diablo, Diablo, Diablo over and over again. It's way easier to go Dibbles, Dibbles, Dibbles.
Well, all right.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah. So there you go. I hope you all learned something. If you liked this, go listen to Into the Nexus. Back to the Ixar AMA. We got some highlights today. There are early prototype stages for different modes in Battlegrounds, which I was only aware of this answer because I think Slissa responded to it with an eyeball emoji going tournament mode. To which I didn't even bother reacting to because my heart is so broken by the term tournament mode and having to think about Hearthstone at the same time that I try to block it from my memory.
But then he did go on to say, we'd like to make tournaments for Battlegrounds in client in a way that could translate to other modes as well. And I just want to say, Ixar, we've been hurt before. Don't do this, man.
Don't
get me the Hawkeye gif from Endgame where he's going, don't do it. Don't give me hope.
Yeah. I mean, like, if they can build a client now that they're getting more and more modes, and obviously Mercs is super new, but it's also a mode that has PvP in it. So as they're building more and more things into the Hearthstone client, having something that works for all your modes that could run a tournament is starting to make way more sense than when it was just for standard or and now. But even in that sphere of like your more traditional Hearthstone modes, we got three modes over there. You could have classic tournaments, you could have wild tournaments, and you can have standard tournaments. Like, they're really starting to stack up things where other people compete in their client against each other, right? So if you're building that ecosystem that's full of PvP, then people are naturally going to want some way to track that and make tournaments. And, you know, like, anything you can do to make that easier, probably a good thing, right? So, yeah, I feel like they're probably trying to figure out a way that will work for all potential Hearthstone PvP modes. That would be my guess. If I was on the dev side, that's how I would do it.
Yeah. Someone just tweeted at me the Hawkeye gif. Thank you, at Cursimus.
You guys are on fire today. Okay. Maybe because we're recording at noon. Everybody's like super snappy and awake.
No, everyone's at work and they don't want to do work, so they have Twitter open. I know, because
most
because,
viewers we've had, you know, in a long time. Y'all like the afternoon Angry Chicken, apparently. Like, goodness. Yeah. Goodness gracious me. But yeah. I love it. Like, memes aside of our own dark history with tournament mode being like the one thing we wanted and them promising it and then murdering it in a dark alley before we ever even got to see it. listen, if you can do it, go for it. I'd be happy to see it. I have reservations.
Yeah. I refuse to get excited until it's like in the patch notes for a patch that's already loaded into the client.
Until I am in my first Battlegrounds tournament, I will not be hyped.
Because this tweet just told us that tournament mode is in the works, and we've been hurt by that statement specifically before.
This is not
a drag. This is a fun, to me, this is a hilarious revisiting of a long, long existing tech meme.
It's like just when something hurt really bad in high school, like you got turned down for prom or whatever, then you think about it like, man, I remember when that mattered to me. And it's just like a throwback. What? I'm not projecting.
So I went to my first homecoming without a date, and I left with my friend's girlfriend that broke up with him the day before.
Garrett!
Yeah.
Was Garrett the original tournament mode?
And listen, as someone who was horrendously picked on in eighth grade, and then, you know, high school, it was the start of a new dawn of a new day. Woo! That felt good. That was good. That was fun.
Yeah. So anyways,
Relationship didn't last long.
Who could have guessed?
You don't say.
But I think BG's really laid the framework for so much positive momentum in Hearthstone, and private lobbies seem like the foundation for a tournament, right? Like, seem like the sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what they do, if they actually do it. I will optimistically wait for it, but not hold my breath. We'll put it that way.
I'm sorry. Apparently, I set chat on fire with that admission, and now I'm dying laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Where were we?
The next medium big thing is in the works, and they're planning the next big thing.
Boy, that is
no idea. That was like so out there in terms of like it could literally be anything. I would
are you starting a Hearthstone band? Like, it could literally be anything. I miss Elite Tauren Chieftain. Could we maybe like? Yeah. So Ben and Dean. are getting together. They busted out some instruments, and the Hearthstone Rockers coming to a BlizzCon line near you.
I'm down. Like, cool. Maybe if we go see them, we get a discount at the Hilton Bar. Like, I don't know.
Hilton doesn't give discounts.
It'll make it the price of only a single 12 pack for one beer, as opposed to the price of two 12 packs for one beer.
Perspective is fascinating here. I remember going and being like, yeah, these drinks aren't too bad. And then I remember that I live in New York City. So, you know.
I did a lot of drinking last time I was in New York City. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, next time you're back here, we'll go to some $18 cocktail bars.
Well, listen, the difference is your cocktail bars are worth the money. I have $18 cocktail bars here. They are not worth the $18.
I believe you.
Ixar also said that pre-orders for expansions might see the loss of Battlegrounds perks being included. Changing pre-orders to a constructed-only product makes sense with a Battlegrounds-specific business model. This seems a little PR speak to me. I translate this in my brain to Battlegrounds is wildly successful and we're still not making enough money from it.
Yeah. this is to get the, well, it's interesting because including Battlegrounds perks with a constructed pre-order is potentially a good way to bring constructed players over. So maybe this is saying we've gotten as many constructed players as we're going to. Now we're going to kind of take it out of there. They didn't say necessarily that they were going to replace it with anything, but I would think that they would want to keep the pre-order value about the same. So we'll probably see them add something, whether it's another portrait or, you know, another legendary or something like that. They'll probably add something for constructed players. I don't know. They seem to maybe be at the point where they're just like, you know what? It's better if we just don't include this, because then maybe we'll get some of those players like me or players like Garrett to kind of do both, like pay for both.
It is the only thing I buy on two accounts.
It just seems to me like players are running out of time. And so when you add mercs, you now have three different a la carte options that don't make a lot of sense when bundled together. So constructed in Battlegrounds, but no mercs feels a little weird. I envision that they'll either, because if you have a super duper mega bundle with all three modes and you don't play one of them, and then the price goes up, you feel like I'm paying for a mode I won't play. So yeah. I think they kind of need to slim down the modality a little bit. They need to have individual mode purchases and make both bundles and individual lower cost things so that people can mix and match a little bit more easily. I have not played Battlegrounds in a while, just because, I mean, the whole week I haven't come up for air for mercs, and still waiting for the mini set and going to play a lot of constructed. I still want the perks, but I don't know the next time I'm going to use them. And so if there are players that are switching to mercs instead of BGs as their downtime game, then I could easily see the perks just being less valuable to them, and feeling like they have to pay for them anyways could be a negative experience.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair too. It's just kind of where my brain goes. Clearly mercenaries is overdrawing, and there's still just not that many ways to dump money into Battlegrounds, or not mercenaries, sorry, Battlegrounds is what I meant to say. my brain still goes there. I will expect either something else, like you said, to be added, and if nothing else gets added and the price doesn't go down, I'm gonna raise a big fat eyebrow.
I'd be surprised if they, I don't think that Hearthstone players have ever been big on forgiving same price less stuff or really anything economic. It's that feedback.
You could have
always
just ended at forgiving.
Yeah.
You could have just ended at forgiving.
I don't know. We've forgiven a couple. We forgave tournament mode. If we can forgive here in this show, we can set the example.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. I said forgive, not forget.
My point stands. Recently they've been prototyping a graveyard system, but that isn't the first time they've done it, and they don't have a compelling way to use it from a gameplay perspective at this time. Harumph. I really like graveyard mechanics.
Yeah, it sounds like they're kind of like playing with the idea, but they don't have enough right now or enough ideas to basically change the way it currently works, right? Or how dead minions and everything else, like they just don't have anything kind of cool. in the background to for, like, not to force this change in, but to push this change forward, I guess.
Yeah. And if I can add a note to my harumph, I'm really stoked that, like, Dean talks about this type of stuff. Like, I want to know this, even if I go, oh, I really like Graveyard Mechanics. I'd love to see them one day be a larger feature in Hearthstone.
Yeah, I like them, but Graveyard Mechanics are fiddly by nature because you have to keep track of so much stuff, and there's so much interaction to do. And I don't know, like, if you're in a really long game, if you're like Taunt Druid versus Control Warrior or whatever, and there was a graveyard to mouse over, it would have like 30 things, and I don't know how you show that elegantly in the UI. There's something there, but I don't know how they do it elegantly.
Apparently, if Dean could blink a sandbox mode into existence immediately, he would. Such a thing is a big time versus value issue. Oh yeah, we used to daydream about that in the early days of the Angry Chicken, which was 8 years ago.
Although, to be fair, in the early days of Angry Chicken, when we were talking about sandbox mode a whole lot more, we didn't have 800 other ways to play Hearthstone and do stuff in the client, right?
That's fair.
So, yeah, I think that at that time it was, and I do still think that there's a potential use case, though it could be kind of like bundled into whatever they do with a tournament client. In terms of just like restricting card pools for making constructed decks and stuff, people talk about pauper tournaments all the time where like you can only use commons and rares. Like, you know, that kind of stuff is what people were calling for in a sandbox mode, assuming you could then challenge your friends in said sandbox mode. So I think you can kind of like smoosh those two things together conceptually because they've built us a whole bunch of other cool stuff we can also play now. So I'd be cool with that. Just options in tournament mode to play, to make my own rules for Hearthstone.
I already hear us falling in love again with the idea. We're already crushing so hard since we read the XRAMA thing about tournament mode. Now it's come up four times since then.
I know. It's like we're not
so ready to open
it,
ourselves up to hurt
about it.
Nope. I won't do it. I will not do it. No.
I'm just saying, I don't think investing in a sandbox mode. I agree with Ixar in this case. I don't think that investing in a sandbox mode, even though we were championing it years ago, I agree there's not a whole lot of value there now. And any little bit of value that could be there could be put into another mode. I won't say which one, but there's a potential way we could do this.
Listen, since we're digging up the like hopes from a long dead grave, my biggest desire is still for a legitimate limited format. Like, I want that more than anything, and I don't think I'm ever going
to. Maybe that's the medium big thing or the big thing. You don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, that's something like for, I think, literally 3 years in a row, I would shout about that to anyone that would listen. It was the number one
remember
thing.
Remember when we used to ask Santa Brode for things?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do remember that. Do you remember when we used to watch live esports and that would be like the number one time I would gripe about the lack of limited Hearthstone? That was my go-to, oh no, there's unexpected downtime between matches. This is what I'm going to ramble about to anyone who will listen.
This does sound like you.
Yeah, Joss is a trooper when it comes to repeated conversations at BlizzCons. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. Yeah.
I've heard it all, folks.
Yep. Ixar also said that if we changed class leveling system, that he would want to find a way to make it infinite or close to infinite so they don't have to address and readdress the issue of some players hitting cap easily and some players never achieving it.
Yep. This feels like something that gets brought up from time to time and they're just like, man, either like it's either going to stay the same or it's going to do what Ixar said is go infinite. Because I feel like this just gets brought up and they're just like, oh, my God, the cap is just 60. OK, deal with it. Why like, do you need more levels?
And if it is infinite, like, I think that's its own kind of concern, because it's like, well, what's the point of going to a larger number if there's nothing there?
Yeah. And then what's the reward? And then at that point, you're almost talking about the tavern pass, right? Like, if you tie like cards or gold or packs or anything into those character levels, then it's like, well, how is this different than the Tavern Pass? Why do we have more than one way of earning things? Like, it just, it's really convoluted and weird and probably hard to economically balance.
It's different because at a certain point, it will take you literally years to get your next level.
That's well, that's true. Yeah. If it is truly infinite, then eventually it'll take you a billion XP to get to the next level. But
this system is the one that I'm most out of touch with in Hearthstone because, like, it's just sort of a thing that you finish and then never think about again. It feels like a WoW anachronism that was added in version one and they forgot to remove it when they made core. Like, it's,
sense in the early days.
Yeah, like, way back in the day, yeah.
Right? In like, basic, here you go. Right. Yeah. And there is still some, like, I guess you still unlock cards in core based on level, but also the goals are based on win count with that class now instead, which is a much more Hearthstone thing. I don't know. Does this system need to exist?
I think they could just delete it and it would be fine, honestly.
Yeah, I go the other way. Like, just get rid of it. Like, why bother? Like, there's no point.
There's so much grind. There's enough, yes, like, boxes to check that you don't need this.
I stan the rewards track. I like it now. I think they've really done a great job tuning it. Get rid of those tickets, please. Other than that, it's great. Big fan. I guess you can just, every time I complain about tickets, people are like, you can just turn it into a pack. Just give me the pack. I don't want to deal with it.
No, I think we should replace the tickets with 50 random mercenary coins.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I can't wait to not do anything meaningful with those. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't write emails to the show. Just tag the show and do hashtag Dibbles. Ignore what I just said.
All right. And then regarding mercenaries feeding into quests and the Tavern Pass, Dean said that they have some plans to make adjustments to quests to better align with mercenaries. But overall, they're pretty happy with the end result so far. The free experience was meant to be fun and fulfilling, while speed of collection, acquisition, and cosmetics supposed to be locked behind the business model.
Yeah, so right now there are no mercs quests. So people are saying, which it's so weird to me that the upgrades cost gold, but there's no way to earn gold in the mode where you're supposed to spend it. And like, you can choose not to engage with packs. You can choose not to buy mercenary packs, which is the other mercenary's gold sink, but you can't choose, like, not to upgrade your stuff, right? Like, you're upgrading your buildings is, like, in the mode.
you don't have to do any of it.
Well, you have to progress the story, you have to upgrade your flight point, don't you?
Nope. It's
not the tutorial part, but the story part.
So all the mandatory upgrades for story path are free. The paid upgrades, there is content locked behind them. 100 gold to access PvP, 200 gold to access heroic story mode, but you don't need either. Yeah. But you don't need that to progress the story. You can just do normal. Heroic is totally optional. It's still weird. I don't like that there are random paywalls.
I thought it gave me a little Valyra person that was like, hey, you got to do the thing. And I was like, fine. So I spent my 200 gold.
I don't believe you have to do that to progress the story at all, but the heroic is in there. I don't think that's in the tutorial path. Gotta look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's all completely optional. It is weird. Like, I agree that it's strange that they don't give you gold, but they take the gold. And if someone were to ask me why is there a paywall here, I'd be like, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's like, it makes sense because you basically have to complete a goal. So it's like, I think one of the goals for one of the buildings is like do 25 bounties or something. So you have to do that goal, and then after that goal is complete, then it pops up with a price. And it's like, but why? Why isn't it one or the other? Why do I have to do a thing and also pay a price? Isn't doing the thing the price? So
yeah, no mercs specific quest does make sense to me to a certain degree because of the tasks that feels like mercenary specific quests, which I like with an asterisk. Mercenaries feels so, and let's just ride this into mercs and bugs, which is our next topic of conversation. Mercenaries feels so much its own thing, which I like about it, that I almost wish there were zero crossover with the rest of Hearthstone. Almost so, and I've heard this mentioned by many people, including you, Joss, that, like, I kind of am on the fence. I'm on the team of the people who are like, this should have just been its own application. You should have got a mercenaries app. Like, it is so self-sufficient within Hearthstone that it feels like it could have been its own game, and I don't see how that would have been a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's been my, especially with my use case of playing it on almost exclusively mobile. I've been spending a lot of time at doctor's appointments lately, and I'm just, you know, sitting in waiting rooms and trying to play. And I mean, there's sometimes it takes me more than 10 minutes to launch the stupid app because it, and I have a new phone, so I have a Pixel 5, and I can't launch the app 60 to 70% of the time. Like, it'll launch and then just sits there and doesn't do anything. And then I have to close it and then try again. And usually on the third or fourth time, it'll finally, the Hearthstone gem will start to glow and it'll actually load. And I'm just like, what is going on here? So I don't know. I just, I think that the size of the Hearthstone client and all the things that it's trying to do and trying to load is much more apparent on the mobile client. And I don't know why they didn't just, and not to mention, not only just from a functional standpoint, but also from a marketing standpoint, because it's like, this game is so different than anything else you do in Hearthstone. Like, why? It doesn't use your collection. Everything is totally different. Even your collection manager is through like a building, not through the main, like your main collection book. I don't know. It just, it feels like it could have been its own totally separate thing.
Yeah, I think the lean into the existing install base is pretty important for them, and I enjoy the value that I have from having it in the mode, but also, like, the client on every platform needs work, and on mobile, it's, the way I'll put the client is, like, when the client is working, it's fine, but it is a lot more brittle and less fault-tolerant than a lot of other games that I play. Mm. Like, the mobile thing that you talked about, there's an issue with IPv6 versus IPv4, and I had to set up a different setting in my phone settings so that Hearthstone would load on mobile, but it works every time now. But I had to do a workaround that is beyond what a reasonable user demand should be, and while they've been aware of it, they haven't been able to fix it. The user has to find a way to fix it for them. The client needs some help. I don't know if I'm willing to blame that on mercenaries, but I'm certainly not willing to give the client any credit for working with mercenaries either. I like having it on the phone. But I want the time.
Yeah, I'm not blaming it on mercenaries. Right. It's just as a mercenary, it helps fuel this thought.
Like, yeah, it puts my brain in this thought place. Is relevant, and all the crossover right now is bad crossover, right? The crossover is I have to take my Hearthstone gold and spend it on this other thing, and then when I want to get my level 30 equipment, so neither of you have done this yet, you're going to think this is dumb because it is dumb. When you get your level 30 equipment, it unlocks an achievement. You have to leave mercenaries to go to the achievement menu to click the achievement to get the level 30 equipment and then go back to mercenaries to equip it. It's just weird.
Boy, that's rough.
It's just funky. So, like, if the crossover was cool and, like, if by playing mercs I got more gold or got some standard packs or whatever, and then the crossover from my usual gold into mercs wasn't I have to spend money to unlock core functionality that would be put towards packs. If, like, doing something in Constructed gave me something in mercs, then cool. If doing something in mercs gave me something in BGs, if I level something to 30, unlock a skin, sure, mm-hmm. I'm all about it. But it's all downside right now. So you have to make the crossover good.
Yeah, it's strange. And this could be its own essay topic that I have no doubt we could do 2 hours on, which is just like, why do we think they decided to do it in Hearthstone? Yada, yada, yada. Like, a lot of times when I look at weird things like having to back out and go to the achievement kind of thing, I just like this is clearly a limitation of just the overall Hearthstone client. Like, and there's a lot of times where I just kind of look at it. I'm like, no, this is just the team doing what they can. Like, listen, I get it. Like, I would love this show to have better production quality and for us to swap between the three of us. One of us are talking for a long, steady period of time, but I would have to do that. And I've tried it before and I get distracted and I forget. So, like, there's a key difference between, like, I have to back out and go to my achievements. Okay, well, it was tied to achievement. That's just the way it is. And they probably tried and just it's not feasible for how difficult it would be to make that a little more fluid versus, like, clearly there was a major decision where I was like, yeah, no, this is going to be a Hearthstone game. Could it be its own game? Sure. But no, it's going to be in Hearthstone. So, anyways, there's been a lot of bugs that have been fixed in Mercenaries.
And a lot that remain. Because this is a 1.0 release, and very clearly they forked the client like 7 months ago, And then they tried to shove it back in, and we've got some ups and downs here. So they fixed a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are still going. I promise to be efficient in this section. Don't worry, listeners. So there were two hot fixes in the first 2 days that Mercs was out. It was pretty cool. The most important one that I want to call out is Diamond Cards shut the F up, because they were playing, the Diamond Skins were playing their canned voice lines when you started an encounter, when you started a round, when you ended a round, and when you ended an encounter. The same lines every single time. It reminded me of Illidan on day one. Vengeance, vengeance, vengeance. Well, now it's, you know, your cries for mercy ring hollow. And it's like, I don't need Arthas Batman voice to just go that much. So they turned it down. There are other stuff they fixed. That's the important one. They just kept going. There are some bugs currently. Antonitis 3, task. Can't progress it. Mokulin number 9, Geddon number 10. There's some others that list the wrong ability. Usually task go. Task 1 is the left ability. Task 2 is the center. Task 3 is the right. There are a couple where the text is swapped, like Cairn, where the third task wants you to use the... It lists the second ability, but it wants you to use the third. And if you try and use that ability, you can't complete the task. So, yeah. I'm pausing for effect. Can't complete the task, huh?
Oh!
You didn't respond, so I assumed...
I didn't hear you properly the first time, I'll be honest.
See, my assumption is, if you're not laughing at my joke, you must not have heard it, which is why I stopped to repeat it. That explains
so much.
Well,
that time I definitely didn't.
This proves my hypothesis. Garrett,
I thought you were just expecting me to, like, get mad again about, like, Mercs not working. And I was like, no, it's fine, just move on, it's bugs. I know, these are all going to be things about Mercs that don't work.
Nope.
Garrett's just left us.
He's gone. We'll finish the show.
He left us.
It's okay. He's like tournament mode.
Yeah.
Hi, Garrett.
Is it safe?
Yes, it's safe.
For now. So, but there are also bugs that are going on outside of Mercenaries, because, again, old version of client meets new version of client, and they're not getting along
that
well.
And everything explodes.
Yeah. MMR in basically every format is not right currently, but it's been confirmed by Tian Ding. It'll be fixed in the client patch this week. Quests don't work in casual right now. That'll be fixed this week. They know about it. And we talked about the economy stuff in Mercenaries for a while, but there's a lot of discourse out there around lack of hard 40 pity timer and the system being complicated. Short version. If you open a portrait, you didn't get scammed out of a collectible. You just got an upgrade from coins of that mercenary, but also I understand it feels bad, and they know too. The devs are listening to feedback. If you're in the Mercenaries Discord, Kaizor, Paul, he's the lead designer in there. He just talks in there every day. He's just in the community Discord. So, shared a lot of things about, like, all this stuff. Really happy to see that level of engagement, asking for feedback, proposing changes. That's all happening in the public Discord right now if you head over to the Mercenaries Discord. If you're into the mode, I strongly recommend it. And he's a super nice guy.
Well put.
Yeah. I told you to be efficient.
Rad. Well, we've got quite a few questions from our Discord, and there might be a theme here. The theme is mercenaries. The theme is mercenaries.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. If you're supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC, go join the Discord, because you can just skip the inbox entirely, message us there, or send us a message in Patreon. The world is your oyster. There's a lot of ways to skip the inbox if you're a patron, so also hit us up there. And I believe all of the questions today come to us from our patron Discord, starting with, I love this name, Floaty Potatoes.
So good, right?
Yeah. Floaty Potatoes writes, I haven't played a ton of Mercs, but is it intended to not have a ton of RNG moments? Battlegrounds is almost pure RNG, and Constructed still has moments of generated by or top decking that makes things feel exciting. The bit of time I've spent in Mercs has either been, that was easy, or I'm dead here, with almost no in between. Am I Mercing wrong, or is this the intent?
I always assume I'm murking wrong, but oh, I think it's the intent.
I think it's 100% the intent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The RNG that stuck out to me most, like, from, like, when we got to test it, because I haven't played PvP since, was deploying your team in PvP and just being like, oh, I made the wrong decision because they went all in on a single color and now I'm getting horribly punished. And then it was kind of gone from there on out.
Yeah, and that's not even RNG, right? There's variance in decision making and results there, but it's not like the computer is picking for you. It's that somebody else is making a different choice, and you have to kind of Nash equilibrium mind game them.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the.
It's like choosing your deck in Conquest or Last Hero Standing, like in a tournament.
Those are things I cannot do in game client.
But you know what I mean? It's not necessarily RNG. It's decision making and strategy.
Yeah. It's kind of sort of, except like because there's the color system with the weakness, but like there are very few comps that get really like absolutely hard countered by other comps, and those are usually too narrow to be competitive. So almost anything can do well against almost anything else if you plan correctly, but the layers of mind gaming gets dizzyingly deep. I'm not very good at it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think floating potatoes, you're absolutely on the money here. I think by definition, Mercs is supposed to not have RNG, even there's just a lot of known qualities, even more known quantities if you're playing PvE versus PvP. So there's just a ton to know there. Whereas like by contrast, Battlegrounds has a ton of RNG, but it's kind of the point of the mode. The point of the mode is to be as consistent as you can in spite of how random it is. It's always been my attraction to any sort of drafting mode.
Different modes, you say?
Yes. Hearthstone as a, what's the term they use?
Platform.
Yes.
I was segueing.
Joss, who's our next question from?
This one comes in from King Dupless, who says, a week after Mercs launched, what modes are you generally playing when you play Hearthstone at the moment? And roughly what percent of your playtime in Hearthstone goes to each mode currently? I ask this because there are a lot of modes and formats in Hearthstone now. There is Standard, Wild, Classic, Arena, Single Player, Duels, BGs, Mercs, and Tavern Brawl. Just side note, putting them all in order, they're not in order, but like in a list like that, I'm like, damn, like there's a lot now. There's a lot.
Standard, Wild, and Classic is, as the game puts it, Hearthstone.
Hearthstone, true.
Yes, it's Hearthstone.
There are 9 modes in the game now?
I feel apparently. Like
they've added more than one mode per year, because when you all started the show on October 15th, 2013, 8 years ago, there was one thing you can do. No, you could do two things. You do Standard and Arena, right?
Standard and Arena, yeah.
So one mode per year.
Two.
One mode per year. That's a lot. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Listen, I want to be very clear that when I don't like a new mode, I'm happy because there's too much to do.
That is definitely fair.
I'm totally fine with it. I'm like, cool, sweet. I didn't have more hours anyway.
But yeah, so King Dupless wants to know what mode we're playing and to what extent. So for me, I'm playing mostly Standard with dabbling in BGs. For a while there, I was pretty heavy into BGs. It was probably 80 to 90% of my Hearthstone time, but I've swung the other way now over onto the Standard side. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I'm really enjoying Constructed Hearthstone right now, and to the point that I might actually go over and explore like the Wild and Classic side of things as well, just because I don't know. BGs is it's frustrating me for some reason. I'm not finding as much fun over there right now, and I cannot put my finger on it. I do not know why. But ever since they nerfed frogs, I just haven't had a lot of fun over there. So I'm avoiding it. I'm playing mostly traditional Hearthstone, air quotes.
I think it's a little stale right now. High rolling with dragons is still too good. Mechs are fine, but high rolling with mechs happens at tier 3. There's
maybe that's it. Maybe it's because there are so many minion types and so many heroes. I feel like almost like my games kind of lack consistency, and I feel like I get blown out a whole lot more often than I used to, and it just doesn't make me feel good. I'm still doing fine. Like, I'm still winning my lobbies, winning being a top 4. But I'm not having fun when I do it, and I rarely get a first place. I think there's just so many things in it now that make it harder for me to consistently pick a thing that I'm good at. Whereas if I go over to standard, I can just be like, hey, I really understand and I'm having fun playing this specific deck with this specific class. And then I can just do it. Like, I don't have to hope that I roll druid when I go into standard. So, yeah, I think that's probably why I'm gravitating over to that way personally. And as we talked about earlier, mercs are basically non-existent for me.
Yeah. I see myself going much the same way, but Battlegrounds heavy instead of standard heavy, like you, Joss. I'm feeling pretty... I'm done with mercenaries at the moment. I don't feel a lot of drive to get back in there right now. It's feeling, I now feel the grind and not like in a fun way. Like I'm aware that that's the mode and I was enjoying it, but now I'm just like, it's the same heroes. I've gotten them all to their third ability. I have no coins to upload those or update those abilities. And I haven't gotten any new heroes that I want to play. And even if I did, I'd have to start from square one. So I'm looking back towards Battlegrounds and Standard again. Obviously, the last week, it's been all mercenaries. But yeah, I'm being a little honest. This is coming together in my head right now. I think all of Hearthstone feels pretty stale. I think both Standard and Battlegrounds needs a revamp. And mercenaries is supposed to be the new exciting thing. But because I'm kind of feeling done with it already, I'm looking at the rest of Hearthstone going, I'm ready for an update. Please and thank you.
Which we know we're getting soon, at least on the like traditional Hearthstone side, or the standard and wild side, I guess, because we are getting that influx of cards from the mini set. We don't know when. Even in the AMA, Ixar didn't really hint at anything. He just kind of said, we'll let you know when it's ready, which is a little disheartening. I was kind of hoping for, you know, a couple weeks after merch, they'd be like, and mini set, bam. But it just sounds like maybe it's further out than I think. I don't know. I hope it's soon. I really hope it's soon because I can definitely see that that thought when it comes to standard.
I'm hoping for next Tuesday after the Master's Tour. I guess I'm hoping because the Master's Tour is this weekend.
For the Gallen announcement?
I'm hoping
for... Or for the launch. Oh.
I mean, either. I'm hoping for the launch, but seems unlikely. But if we get reveals this week, I don't know. It could happen. Let's... I don't know how fast they can spin things up or where, like, the engineers have got to be working on 19 different things right now. I feel like they've just been so busy. So I don't know if we're going to get a patch that quickly, but also I'd like if we did. Seems unlikely, yeah. But I'd like
also,
if we
though,
did.
Like, haven't we had, like, leaks and rumors for, like, the last many everything? And I haven't heard anything about rumors about when to expect the mini set.
Yeah, it's, I've just guessed, I'm assuming it's 2 weeks after this patch, but that is based on zero actual information. Gallen did just say there are no balance changes before the Master's Tour this weekend. I hope that means there are changes and new cards and whatever after, but we'll see. Like, I don't know. But Garrett, I think as far as modes, I'm in kind of the same place as you. I'm a little break from Mercs right now, and I think I'm just not going to play until at least the end of this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Cool. But then after that, I'm probably going to play more mercs. I don't know.
Was wondering, Hat has not been replaced by a pod person.
I mean, I do three podcasts. I'm kind of a pod person.
A little bit.
Yeah. You did that to yourself.
Yeah, you did definitely that. Did, Garrett. You can't even get mad.
Note self, use the term replicant from now on. Fine. I've learned my lesson, Hat.
Yeah. Oh, man, maybe I'll watch Blade Runner later. What a great movie. So I am kind of a new...
It's a perfect movie for playing mercenaries with, by the way. It's very slow in plotting.
Yes. Though I like 2049 a lot more, but we'll talk about it in a different show at a different time. I like chasing the new things in Hearthstone almost always, so I'll play whatever is new. Like, I think the current standard format is in a good spot. If you look at the latest Vicious Syndicate report, there are 15 tier 2 decks and no tier 1 decks. That's cool. But also, I'm kind of out of interest in it because I've played a lot of those decks a bunch and I want something different, and Mercenaries is taking that right now. So this past week has been clear my dailies when I remember that I have them. Clear my weeklies on Sunday because I remembered that I have them, and then play mercs all the time. That's not going to last forever. When the mini set comes out, I'm going to jam a bunch of standard. I haven't played BGs in a while. I will dip into wild every so often, but I don't love the format right now. What? Classic? No. Arena? No. Single player? Not really. Duels? Yeah, I like duels. And Tavern Brawl? Sometimes? Sometimes. I don't know. Whatever the
I feel like if you played Tavern Brawl, it's probably only like 5% of your playtime, right? Because you go in once a week, you get your pack, and unless it's something super crazy cool, you're probably not repeating it over and over for no rewards.
Well, I repeat it for, you can clear quests in Tavern Brawl, so if I want to play faster games with a class that I have no interest in playing in Standard, or I don't want to play Standard, I'll just queue it up in TB and give it a third of my attention and just keep doing that until I get my quest checked off. So that's my main use of Tavern Brawl, is just to clear quests. And it's good at that.
When it even lets you, because sometimes it doesn't even let you, right? Like choose your class or build your deck or do whatever you need to do.
I got lucky enough to get a play rogue quest, and the Tavern Brawl this week is you're a rogue, so like that happens.
Is Valyria.
Yeah.
All right, Hat, who's our final question from?
From Torby Flenderson, what mercs have surprised you so far by being either better or worse than you expected them to be? I don't know how many expectations I had going in, because there was so much information. I will say that Dawngrasp has been excellent. They are very, very strong, potentially the best merc in the game, because speed, control, and freezing are really powerful. Cairn as well has been really, really good. All the speed control abilities are strong. And Sylvanas, I understand that Sylvanas works well in the shadow comp, but I am just leveling her now, and I find her very awkward and hard to use. But Luna just tweeted her tier list.
So
and
does
Sylvanas
Blizzard.
Is tier S. Listen, I was trying to be nice. You didn't have to burn the tree down. So it's... I am certain there is something going on here with Sylvanas, but I don't understand what it is. That's about mercs, not the story. I haven't tried to follow.
There's also a joke about Blizzard writing with that phrase. Well done. I don't really have anything to say new, because I've been using the exact same mercenaries that I talked about last week. I haven't opened any mercenaries that I really, really want to use that weren't starter mercenaries. So I stand by Zyrella is bae.
Okay, so I guess I have a question as the least merc'd player. What's the best way to figure out? Because I have a whole bunch that are just level one. I've basically just been using the same six mercs that you unlock first. Like, how do you go about choosing what's next to level? Like, how do you even gauge power level? I guess, like,
those are two different questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess, how do I know what to focus on?
So, what to level? What looks fun? What is competitively viable? Excellent question. There are people posting tier lists. There are people posting comps. It's all week one stuff. It's hard to tell. And so, like,
Cairn.
Yeah, well, Cairn's good.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, except you should probably use Cairn if you have
And Dawngrasp. If you have Dawngrasp, you should use Dawngrasp. Cairn, I believe, is an epic. I think epic. Dawngrasp is a rare. You should use Dawngrasp. I feel very confident saying
Cairn is an epic. Yes.
Yes. He's purple.
I have been using Blink Fox because Blink Fox.
because he's a good blinky boy. Yes. That is objectively correct. As far as what is relevant in terms of power level, then you're gonna have to consult outside information, kind of just like in Constructed. But in terms of what to do for PvE, you can get really far in PvE with whatever you want. It starts to get difficult towards the end of the third area, and the fourth area in particular, Blackrock Mountain, you have to be pretty specific about your choices. But before that, you can do whatever, and the last two areas, the expectation is, those are level 30 areas, so if you're under 30, you're going to get smacked around. So for the first two areas, level what you want. As long as your comp has a decent balance of red, greens, and blues, then you'll be okay. And so whatever looks fun to you should work fine.
I don't really look at abilities. I look at portraits. Okay. So
then whatever looks pretty, that's fine.
There we go.
Okay. Well, if you open Baby Mukla, Baby Crush, you should play those.
Oh, I guess I have been playing King Crush as well, because he just looked ridiculous.
Because he's a dinosaur.
And I really, really, I wonder if he's Hoarder Alliance.
He's hungry.
It would be a neither, right?
I didn't realize neither was an option. Yeah,
because after Lich King had an association, I was like, wait, what?
And not the association you would think.
I wouldn't think either. He's neither. He's not Alliance or Horde. Period. I will not be accepting comments at this time.
But then you're going to post the show to YouTube.
Well, I mean, you can make comments. It's just, yeah. And don't.
He just doesn't have to accept them.
Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready for a rant?
Okay.
Are you ready for a rant?
This is the angry chicken. Yes.
When I commented on and retweeted somebody pointing out that Arthas was horde on Twitter, I had so many people be like, but Nerzul, and want to be like, if you think Nerzul is horde, you don't know what the horde is. Also, is it Nerzul Lich King? Because that ain't the art. So, yeah, I realize Soul's still in the helm and everything, but that is Arthas Lich King, mofos. Don't step to me. Nerzul.
And I think that is the last question that we have here.
Nerzul is as much as a horde as Gul'dan is.
Are you okay, buddy?
No.
He's not. Gareth's not okay.
That's not the horde. Put some icons on him.
Icons would solve a lot.
We have two icons. One is for one faction. One is for the other. Let's plaster those just stickers. Just there you go.
Yeah. I have a different solution. Maybe just don't put treasures that say Horde or Alliance in the game, and then you're fine.
Mm. But I like them because my current comp is mostly Alliance.
Oh, they're super powerful.
Yeah. I like those treasures quite a bit. Let's just stick little stickers on there. Probably an oversight, just because it doesn't matter in PvP, right?
I mean, they know about the pain point. I assume they'll do something.
Mm. Yeah. Well, all right. Keep those emails coming. TACpodcast@gmail.com. Go enter to win one of 10 Diablo pre-purchase mercenary bundle giveaways. You can't buy these anymore, y'all. They were pre-purchase bundles, but we've got codes for them sent to us by the Hearthstone team. 5 of them you can enter to win by retweeting a tweet that we just put out on the Angry Chicken account, which is at TAC Podcast. We have linked to it at the top of the show notes. I will try and be a good podcast host and link it in the body of the blog post as well, so you don't need to go digging. Also, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, tweet at TAC Podcast using the hashtag Dibbles, that is spelled D-I-B-B-L-E-S, for an additional chance to win another 5 packs, bundles that we are giving away. Another 5 packs. There's way more than 5 packs in there. Other than that, if you like the show, you like what we're doing, you want to throw us a dollar or more, head on over to patreon.com/TAC. Get access to our Discord, get an ad-free version of the show. Maybe while you're over there, consider becoming a producer, which means we thank you each and every episode like we do with Declan H, Jeffrey D, and Dustin C. Thank you for being our wonderful, wonderful producers. We have 2 slots left. Want to be a Patreon producer? Check out patreon.com/TAC. Other than that, the back catalog of episodes can be found over at theangrychicken.com or youtube.com/amove2 if you'd rather watch our smiling faces and my terrible hair, as I jumped out of the shower and didn't do anything else with it this morning. We're typically live Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/amovetv. We had stuff to do tonight. That's why we're recording early. Other than that, Joss, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. Do make sure you are following my Twitch channel for our Extra Life Game Day stream on November 6th. We're going to start off the day with the House of Ashes playthrough, and then we're going to be playing all kinds of cool, like, co-op-y PvP type stuff. We're going to definitely also be doing some Dead by Daylight because I love it, and I always make them play because it's right around Halloween. And yeah, so... anyways, there's probably going to be lots of opportunities for you guys to jump in. And all of that, of course, is to support the Extra Life charity, which supports the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. So if you want to get involved, do share the link. You can go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021 if you are interested in supporting that charity. Again, our main game day stream is going to start pretty early, I think either 9 or 10 a.m. on November 6th. So go and check it out.
Sick. Ridiculous Hat. You host every other Hearthstone podcast. What are they?
You can find me in the hub of my content, twitter.com/ridiculoushat. If you like mercenaries graphics about economy stuff, it's a very specific interest and I have you covered. So feel free to check it out. Also, I host 2 other Hearthstone podcasts, Coin Conceded, competitive side of the game more accessible to you over at coinconceded.com, and Vicious Syndicate, a data-driven look at the standard metagame. Also, I am not starting a mercenaries podcast. Not doing it. I understand you're all doubting just trust me. Garrett, where can we
find
you?
I was like, is this you saying you are? And you're just trying to throw people off the scent?
No, legitimately,
or...
no more podcasts. I can't do a fourth podcast. Cannot do it. Won't do it. I'll guest on Your Mercenaries podcast, but I won't start my own. Won't start my own.
Is there an amount of money where you would? Because we have a Patreon and we could add a goal.
A bonus episode. We can do a bonus episode, but I don't feel like either of you really want to talk about them.
No, you can do it. You can take the spoils for whatever that amount is. It's fine.
I need about 500 Malfurion coins. So you can, if we get 500 Malfurion coins on the Patreon, then I will do a bonus episode.
All right. I am on Twitter at Garrett Art. This podcast and every single other one that I can do can be found over at amove.tv. I would recommend you go and listen to Nexus Gaming News. It is my latest podcast. We upload every Tuesday. And the most recent episode was about my love for Back 4 Blood. Essentially Left 4 Dead 3, but you have to leave Valve before you can count up to 3. So there you go. You want to hear all about that? Go catch Nexus Gaming News wherever you find your podcasts or watch the video version that I put a lot of effort into and very much would appreciate if you watched it over at youtube.com/amovetv. Also go to createwithgarrett.com. That's my graphic design and videography portfolio. You can contact me there if you want to hire me to make stuff for you. So go check that out. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Thank you so much for hanging out, everybody. Good luck winning those Diablo bundles. And until next time, job's done, dibbles.
Job's done.
Dibbles done? Job's dibbles? I don't know. We're done here.
Yes.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.